Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Friends, welcome. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thanks for joining us for our evening broadcast. I just had a great 1 hour Zoom call with some of our people from around the country that want to do something about the election. We do special trainings, by the way, and you can sign up at prolifevolunteer.com, prolifevolunteer.com, and we got to be ready for this election, and there's a lot that we can all do. You can influence so many votes, and along, of course, with casting your own. We're going to turn to the Lord in prayer, and then I want to talk to you a little bit more. I started reflections last night, and I want to continue them tonight, and about showing the reality of abortion. And I see your comments here, and Carrie Ann, a little blessing for you to feel better. You're saying you're not feeling very well. We pray for all of you, brothers and sisters, and we send you, Carrie Ann, a little angels of the Lord to bring you strength and healing and peace. And Brad is talking about Alvita. She really is a joy to have on our team. And she's been working full-time for us for 15 years now here at Priests for Life. Some people don't realize that she's connected with us. You see her on the media. She's on Fox News a lot. She's on this channel a lot where you're watching now. But thank you for your support of Alvita. And John from the Philippines. John's been faithful to us every day. And morning and night, although for you it's reversed, right? The night is the morning. But John over there from the Philippines, God bless you and for cheering us on and being such a faithful part of our broadcasting here. So friends, let's turn to the Lord here now, and we're going to ask his blessing. Father, we thank you for the gift of life and the gift of faith. We know that possessing both of these great gifts also calls us to defend them. We know that there are many enemies who want to attack them. And we know, Lord, that in you we have the strength to overcome those enemies. Make us strong defenders of life, make us strong proclaimers of the faith, and in doing both, may we find the joy that comes only from you and that no one can take away from us. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay. I have two special clips I'm going to show you tonight. One from, and I was just talking with her on the Zoom call, Dr. Teresa Burke. Like Alvita King, she too has been part of our ministry team for over 15 years. She founded Rachel's Vineyard Ministries, and we'll have her on in a little bit talking about this very important topic of showing the reality of abortion. But Dr. Burke is a psychologist and a researcher and a counselor, really of the highest quality, and she's a gifted, creative person who has brought about in the world and in the church these marvelous healing ministries like Rachel's Vineyard and several others, actually. And we continue to strengthen and encourage the Rachel's Vineyard movement throughout the world under the umbrella of Priests for Life. Now, the things we were saying last night, I was showing you some examples of how at the website lookatabortion.org, you can not only see the reality of what abortion does to a baby, it's an act of violence. You see that reality, and by seeing it, it cuts through the rhetoric, it cuts through the deceptive arguments and slogans, it gets to the truth of the matter. You know, it's interesting, if people see a sign that says abortion kills children, a lot of people get angry at that sign. When people see a picture of an aborted baby, a lot more common reaction is that they get still and they get quiet and their jaw drops. Because you see, if you have a sign that says abortion kills children, you're giving people the conclusion and they might not agree with it. But when you show them a picture of what abortion did to kill a baby, you're giving them the evidence that leads to the conclusion. And that's why they're very often affected in a more profound way than words can achieve. And when this happens, what you have is a dynamic like we explored last night, where you have a reaction of people saying, wow, I never knew this. I was pro-choice, but now I'm pro-life. I mean, they literally turn around in a matter of minutes by seeing these pictures. Nobody ever showed them before. Or you have pro-life people who are always against abortion, but, you know, there's knowing and then there's knowing. There's different levels of knowing, and you can be against it conceptually, but when you see, again, what abortion does to a baby, it stirs you at a deeper level. And so we have pro-life people who see these pictures, and they are stirred to a deeper level of involvement and deeper level of action. As Red's Burger Mart is saying, the pictures are the real truth. Exactly. They don't lie. You know, words, yeah, you can twist words. These pictures, this is the real thing. And of course, some people will say, oh, well, they're made up. Well, you know, come on, you can't just say things like that. You got proof, you got evidence that we made them up, give us the evidence. In fact, very often on these galleries of photos, we have also pathologists' testimony about this being the actual reality of what these babies look like. But the other kind of reaction is those who were pregnant, actually carrying a baby, some of them actually thinking of having an abortion, and then they see the pictures and they change their mind and they decide to keep that baby. So the pictures actually save lives. So we talked about that last night. And we showed how it's part of the history of social reform, whether you're looking at the anti-slavery movement, the movement to reform child labor laws, you look at educational efforts on the Holocaust, you look at even anti-drunk driving or anti-smoking campaigns, all of these things, they use graphic visual imagery. The civil rights movement. Again, Alveda King, we've talked many times about how the civil rights movement used the strategy of visualizing the victim. We've had Alveda on these programs many times talking in support of this practice of showing the aborted babies, the images, and also the videos. And again, look at abortion.org, gives you the resources to do that. You can take those pictures, use them, download them, share them. You may do so. Now, today I want to go a little bit further and ask, what does this do? And does it have, some people will say, oh, well, doesn't it have a negative effect on people? Doesn't it make people angry? They'll say, first of all, well, listen, if you're a healthy, normal human being with a functioning conscience, of course you're going to be angry. You're going to be as angry at abortion as you are at any other kind of killing of the innocent. And you're angry at child abuse, right? When we hear, you know, about people that rape and abuse children, and unfortunately even some clergy, we all know that that happens. We get angry, and we should get angry. You know, what are we going to say? We're not going to tell the stories about clergy sexual abuse because it's going to make people angry? Well, isn't it supposed to make people angry? You know, we're not going to talk about the death of George Floyd because it made people angry. Well, for goodness sake, we better be angry at the killing of the innocent. How on earth could we not be angry at this? You know, people are justifying left and right the anger. Anger at things like this. Now, we don't want it to lead to violence. It shouldn't lead to violence. And people who have been inciting these riots and tearing down monuments and all of that. Look, that's a different agenda. You know, hijacking a serious and unfortunate tragedy of the death of this man, George Floyd. But that's a separate agenda. You know. Forcing its way in and wanting to destabilize our society. Because if we keep focused on the agenda of being angry at the killing of an innocent person, nobody's saying that the anger itself is wrong. Yeah, anger is energy, and we've got to use that anger then to do good. So do the pictures of abortion make people angry? Well, of course. But some people don't ever want anyone to get angry at them, and they think that to end abortion, you know, we ourselves have to be popular. Well, no. Now, people will often attack the messenger and will be unpopular for showing the truth of what abortion is. But we don't care what people think about us. We care what they think about abortion. if helping somebody to see the truth about abortion requires that I endure them thinking some bad things about me, or requires that people think some bad things about you, isn't that a small price to pay to save a baby? And that's got to be the attitude of our movement. That's on the question of anger. Now, some people will say, well, wait a minute, there's children that are going to see these pictures. Well, you know, we're very careful to target our audience, as we want to do with everything. But it is true, if you show these pictures in public, which we believe has a very important value in doing, and we're even going to see later, I mean, we even have, you know, trucks that have these images on them that we support the project of driving these trucks through neighborhoods. Are some children going to see them? Well, of course. But we work with psychologists. I just mentioned Dr. Teresa Burke, and psychiatrists, many of them, working in conjunction with our ministry. Our friend Dr. Philip Ney, a child psychiatrist, has talked with us about this many times, and he said, you know, here is what the pivotal factor is when a child is going to see something like a picture of a violent action of abortion. It's going to be the reaction of the parents more than the thing that they're seeing. They don't quite know how to process what they're seeing. They're going to look at and be affected most by the reaction of their parents. And if their parents are speaking calmly and assuring them that they are safe and protected and valuable and patiently answering any questions that they may have, it is not going to traumatize the child. It's the parents. Now, the parents that, you know, I've seen situations where children have seen in public demonstrations the pictures of abortion, and the parents have, you know, gone off their rocker and started yelling and screaming. Well, the child's going to be upset. What do you think the child's going to be upset about? The crying, screaming mother. That's going to upset the child more than what's on the poster. It's not going to traumatize the child. And then, of course, we have the concern about people who have had abortions. And this is where I want to bring in Teresa Burke in just a moment, because she's an expert in helping women who have had abortions to heal from abortion. Will showing the picture of what abortion does to a baby hurt those that are already in pain over their abortion? Well, brothers and sisters, as Teresa is going to mention in her video, the sight of a pregnant woman, the sight of a baby, the cry of a baby, the sound of a vacuum cleaner, ketchup being poured on a hamburger, all of these things are and can be triggers for people who have had abortions. People who have had abortions are deeply wounded, and many different things will make them upset. Just hearing the word abortion in a news headline can be a very upsetting event. Oh, but what? We care about these people, and we... Again, I'm the pastoral director of the world's largest ministry for healing these people. Of course we care about them, and we know their pain. But does the fact that they have that pain mean that we now have to keep quiet about abortion? We know that some people who hear us who have had abortions are going to be upset by hearing about abortion. But that doesn't absolve us of the responsibility to speak about abortion. For example, one of the countless women I know who has had abortion and been through healing, and she was talking to me about, you know, our effort to get priests preaching more about this topic, and she said, you know, I wish that priests would speak more about abortion, because for those of us who have had abortion, sure, it's upsetting anytime we think about it, but it's also consoling to see and hear priests preaching about it and other people educating the public about it, because you know what it tells us? It tells us that they care about us because they want to prevent other people from having that same pain and that same wound. She said, it brings me great consolation to know. And she's not the only one who told me this. This particular woman said, it gives me great consolation to know that other people in the congregation are hearing about this so that maybe some of them won't make the mistake that I made. Brothers and sisters, those that have had abortions are a very important part of our audience, very important part of our flock, if you will, that we need to shepherd with care, very important part of our congregation, very important part of our church and of the public. But they're not our only audience. We've got to reach also the vast numbers of people out there who have not had abortions, and we don't want them to start. We've got to reach them and show them the terrible reality of abortion so that they will not end up being one of these people who are sitting there suffering over a past abortion that they can never reverse. Let's listen to Teresa Burke, because again, she's an expert, one of the foremost experts on healing women of the trauma of abortion. And listen to what she says about the seeing of these graphic images. She makes reference to The Hard Truth, which is a video that really doesn't just only show the pictures, it shows video of abortion, and it's absolutely horrifying. But listen to what Teresa Burke has to say.
Hi, this is Dr. Teresa Burke, founder of Rachel's Vineyard and pastoral associate of Priest for Life. As a teenager, I watched the video, The Hard Truth. Never in my life had I been so convinced that abortion was truly an act of violence and horror. The images cut through the rhetoric of choice, and it obliterated the euphemisms that protect us from realizing what abortion is all about. They can be quite disturbing to many moms, dads, and other relatives who have suffered the loss of a little one to abortion. However, keep in mind that the sight of a pregnant woman, or an ultrasound, or even the cry of a newborn can also trigger painful memories related to abortion. We want to protect women who've been victims of abortion, and we also want to prevent other women from becoming one of these sad statistics, and also protect her child from this concealed violence.
She has so many great insights, and I agree with you, Carolyn Messina. Bless Dr. Teresa Burke. She is the best. She is such a gift to the pro-life movement, to the church, to Priests for Life, to Rachel's Vineyard. Really love her and love working with her over all these years. Read her book, by the way. She has a book called Forbidden Grief. And it talks about how this wound of abortion needs to be healed, the trauma that it brings, and the road to healing, Rachel's Vineyard being a very big part of that road to healing. So she agrees. Showing these pictures has an important role to play in waking up people, waking up their conscience. In fact, those that have had abortions, you know, one of the difficulties in finding healing, peace, and forgiveness is the layers and layers of denial under which we hide when we don't want to face up to the truth. And if we're hiding under layers and layers of denial, and those of you who have had abortions, you know better than anyone exactly what I'm talking about, that blocks the path to healing. Because if we're denying our guilt, or if we're denying the violence and pain of abortion, well, then from what do we need to heal? What the pictures do is they break through that denial. And sure, it's painful at first. Just again, like just hearing the word abortion is painful. I've had people when I've preached about abortion who have said that, though, this is very painful. But very often that pain, that little bit of upsetment at the moment, sets them on the path to healing. Sets them on the path to grieving. See, the person who's in denial, they can't properly grieve because they're not even admitting that there's a person there to grieve. But once you've broken that denial in one way or another, and you realize, you know what, things are not right and I can't continue in this way, you stand up and you start to do something about it. And that's where we have to be there to take people's hands. That's why, by the way, when we show these pictures, We also have very, very clear and strong invitation to healing. The pictures are not a condemnation of the person who had an abortion. Please understand, and we have to let everybody understand, we who reject abortion do not reject those who have had abortions. We're not showing the pictures in order to make people feel bad or to manipulate them emotionally. We're showing the pictures so that all of us can break out of those layers of denial, those lies we tell ourselves, and begin the work of healing, whether we've been involved in an abortion ourselves, or even if we've not been personally involved in it, nevertheless, to take our proper role in bringing it to an end. Now, the pictures of abortion also have an impact on elections. And I mentioned this briefly last night, and I'm going to show you another powerful video here in a moment about a project that the Center for Bioethical Reform carries out. And I want to give greetings here to my colleague and friend Greg Cunningham of the Center for Bioethical Reform, abortionno.org, abortionno.org, very powerful website, just like lookatabortion.org. Which is our website at Priest for Life. Greg has developed a project over the years of driving trucks through neighborhoods showing the reality of abortion. And actually driving these trucks through the neighborhoods enables a large number of people to see these pictures in a short period of time. We know the impact they have. And if we can get as many people as possible to see them in as quickly a time frame as possible, well, the more impact we have. In this election season, in various communities where the election is close and it could be swayed by just the 1 or 2 percentage points, and we know that pro-life voting does sway elections in a pro-life direction, a significant portion of the voting public votes on the issue of abortion, and those that determine their vote based on the abortion issue vote more pro-life than pro-abortion. So it's a winning issue for us politically. And therefore, we're convinced that showing these pictures in these communities where there are close elections between a pro-life and a pro-abortion candidate can be a fruitful project. You may even want to help in doing that. And let me pause here to mention Rick's question. Good question, Rick. Has anyone seen the movie Unplanned? I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, if you haven't, you can obtain it now online. The movie Unplanned is very, very powerful. I was very much involved in the process by which that movie came about, and in fact, in the process by which Abby Johnson, who is the key character in the movie, it's about her journey from being a Planned Parenthood director to becoming a pro-life advocate, and also it's about the 40 Days for Life campaign. I was very involved in the genesis of both of those things, and her journey, and also the initiation and growth of 40 Days. So it's, for me, a very, very meaningful film. And I want to thank Rick for mentioning that and point out that one of the key dynamics you see in that film is the very point that we're making now. The subtitle of the movie Unplanned is "What She Saw Changed Everything." What did she see? She saw the reality of what an abortion is. The key point in her journey was when she was helping in the procedure room to do an abortion, and she saw that live baby on the ultrasound get sucked into that plastic tube and come out the other end, a bloody mess. And she realized at that moment when she broke down in tears, she said, "This is not an abstraction. This is not a slogan. This is not health care. This is not freedom. This is not choice. This is violence." Well, that's what happens when people see these pictures. And when it comes to elections, you know, the question has to be asked. If a politician, and I've asked this question countless times, but it bears repeating. It bears repeating by all of us. I invite you to ask it to people. If a politician can't respect the life of a little baby, how's he supposed to respect yours? The politician that can't respect the life of a little baby, what kind of character do they have? What kind of conscience do they have, right? You can't respect the life of a little baby. How are you going to respect the life of an adult? If you can't preserve a baby's life, how are you going to preserve an adult's taxpayer dollars or an adult's job or education or health care or right to immigrate or right to be safe from terrorism or right to be protected from crime? How do you protect any of these things if you don't even know or seem to care about protecting the life of a baby? People see the violence of abortion in these pictures and they say, well, what do we have to do to stop that? Well, one of the ways we stop that is we elect lawmakers who are willing to stop it. Elect the kind of lawmakers who will pass the kind of laws that'll protect the lives of these babies just like they protect your life and mine. So, if you want to help drive these trucks, fund these trucks, have a place for these trucks to stay in your communities, I want to invite you to let us know that. We have a form. I mentioned it at the outset tonight, prolifevolunteer.com, where you can let us know a little bit more about you and how you might want to help in this election season. You might just want to give an hour a week. Listen, nothing is too small. We need all hands on deck. But you might even want to help with a project like I'm about to show you. I'm going to show you a series of news clips about the impact that these trucks have had in local communities on the people. Like Roberta is saying, quoting the scriptures, harden not your hearts. And you're going to see how these pictures soften the hearts, open the hearts of so many people. Let's run the clip.
LA's number one choice for news. Fox 11, 10 o'clock news.
The anti-abortion movement hits the road and it gets closer to you than ever.
Drivers on I-4 got an eyeful today.
The Center for Bioethical Reform hit the interstate this morning during rush hour.
With huge 25-foot pictures of aborted fetuses on the sides.
It's an in-your-face message and it is causing trouble on the freeway.
The pro-life movement takes to a freeway near you. I'm Al Nipo, the very latest in the anti-abortion movement.
They're on wheels and they're in your face. The pro-life movement is actually driving home a powerful anti-abortion message. And it may catch you off guard next time you're out on the freeway. Now we have to warn you, some of the pictures you're about to see are disturbing.
We want to warn you folks, some of these images that you're about to see are disturbing.
Some of the video you're about to see may be disturbing.
Now we have to warn you, the pictures you're about to see are a bit disturbing.
And we do need to warn you that the video you're about to see in this report is disturbing.
And we caution you, the video we're about to show you may be disturbing.
Now we want to warn you that some of the images you'll see may be disturbing.
We warn you, some images are graphic.
We want to warn you though, some of the pictures you're about to see are graphic.
We want to give you ample warning now before you see these images here. They're very graphic.
We warn you, this video is graphic.
We want to warn you, some of these pictures are very graphic.
And we want to warn you, they are graphic and you might find them offensive.
Now we want to warn you, some of the pictures in this report may be upsetting to some.
We want to warn you, some of the pictures this group uses in its billboard campaign may be upsetting.
The images show an aborted fetus shortly after a procedure posed next to a dime. They are graphic, they are bloody, and they are doing exactly what the group wants them to do, to turn heads and get people to think.
Oh, that is horrible, but you know what? It makes you think twice about actually doing something like that. It really does.
Oh, it's horrible, but it makes you think twice about doing something like that. And those, as you heard from last night's evening broadcast, are the sentiments of so many who they see the pictures, whether it's on the trucks or whether it's on the abortionno.org, the Center for Bioethical Reform, or on our Priests for Life site, lookatabortion.org. They're upset, but they're also grateful. Grateful for being delivered from the lie that abortion is somehow okay, that it's just health care, it's freedom, it's constitutional rights, it's a woman's choice. It's murder. It's the killing of a baby. And the pictures demonstrate that beyond the shadow of a doubt. And if this is something so terrible, and Greg Cunningham asked this question decades ago on one of his early videos, if it's so terrible that we cannot bear to look at it, then why are we tolerating it? Let me, before we conclude here, I'm going to conclude, give you a blessing and finish our broadcast tonight. I think it was Christopher Redding. Thank you for commenting. I really share your sentiments. Chris said, I hear you, Father, but the actions of the princes of the church make it difficult to make out what you're saying. And I want to express agreement with you, agreement with you, because we know that so many leaders in the church have failed. They have failed in numerous ways. We talked before about, you know, some clergy have done terrible things sexually to children and whatnot, and some of their bishops have looked the other way or not dealt with it adequately. But also in so many other ways, sometimes, you know, the way they have failed to proclaim the truth about abortion. I mean, there's so much more that church leaders can be doing. It's one of the reasons people support our ministries. They see us doing and saying as priests for life what they would like to hear in their own parishes and dioceses, but they don't hear it. Well, we're determined to pick up some of the slack. And one thing that I value very, very highly is honesty and transparency. I am an open book. Our ministry is an open book. We're going to tell it like it is. And that's one of the things that people say to me most frequently. It's that, listen, it's your honesty, it's your courage to speak the truth that I most am refreshed by, because we don't hear it. We hear political doublespeak. You know, it's one of the reasons why President Trump has and deserves so much of the support he gets from the American people, because he says things like they are. He doesn't beat around the bush or doublespeak, or politicians that talk so many words and you never know what they said. And you know what? We got the same problem among a lot of church leaders and clergy. They talk and talk and talk and talk, and afterwards you're scratching your head and you're saying, what did they just say? Did they say anything that has any meaning? And it's, you know, it's easy to talk and not say anything. We got to make sure that we're saying something when we talk. And we got to make sure that what we're saying really impacts people and is the truth and has an effect. I've been hurt by many of the leaders in the church, because just like they don't want to speak out loudly and clearly about abortion, some of them don't want me to do so either. They actually, instead of blessing our ministry, like, and many of them do, many of them have blessed and supported our ministry right up, you know, up to the Vatican and, you know, many dioceses and whatnot, but a lot of them have done just the opposite. Just the opposite. They literally try to stop us from doing what we're doing. I've had church leaders that tell me, oh, you know, Father Frank, you know, you've done these funerals for aborted babies, and you've shown people, you know, the baby, and you know, you've put the camera and showing the baby. Really, what you need to do is you need to cover the baby with a cloth so nobody can see the body. Yeah, you want me to participate in the cover-up that Planned Parenthood is doing to hide the violence of abortion. No thanks. I'm not going to be a participant in the cover-up. I'm going to be a participant in showing the truth. We're going to rip the veil off the violence of abortion. As long as I'm alive, people are going to be seeing what I have the opportunity to show them when it comes to abortion. Enough already. Enough of the cowardice. Enough of the silence. Enough of, oh, let's hide the baby. Let's put a cloth over the baby. I've actually had them tell me this. When you do a funeral, don't let anybody see the baby. Tell the mother of Emmett Till that. I mentioned this last night, the young boy, and at the time of the civil rights movement, was murdered in the South, and she wanted an open casket. Horrifying image of this boy who was mangled by this act of violence, and she said, no, I want the world to see what they did to my boy. Well, you know what? I want the world to see what they did to my brothers and sisters in the womb. And I know you want the world to see what they did to our boys and girls in the womb. We're going to show it. We're going to show it. Yes, Nikki Pop from Twitch, welcome. A lot of religionists. There's a lot of fake religion out there. But there's true religion, too. You can find it if you want it. If you don't want it, you'll never find it. But you can find it if you want it. And maybe it starts with just, you know, being honest. Trying to be a good person. Doesn't that make you smile? If you're happy at doing good to somebody, listening to somebody, hearing their pain, trying to help them through life, just like you want people to help you through your difficult moments, you're touching what religion is all about. There's a lot more to it than that. But don't think it's fake. People who dismiss religion as fake, you know what happens? And not all of you are seeing all these comments, but we're broadcasting on multiple platforms, and this individual is saying religion is fake. You cheat yourself if you say that. You tell yourself that, and you're cheating yourself from discovering a whole dimension of life that if you don't think it's there, you're going to miss it. Why do you think, not millions, not tens of millions, not even hundreds of millions, why do you think billions of people find meaning in religion? You really think that billions of people, not just today, but over thousands of years, all of them, all these people, young and old, from every background and every age, and geniuses as well as very simple, ordinary people, you really think they were all wrong and somehow you got it right? Doesn't that kind of make you think twice? It's like, wait a minute, why do I think I got it right and then all these billions of people got it wrong? Be careful. Don't cheat yourself by thinking that religion is fake. Oh yeah, there's a lot. Listen, what you might be seeing is just like I was saying to that other gentleman who was commenting earlier. Are some religious leaders fakes? Oh, you bet they are. Are some religious leaders faking that they really don't believe in what their religion says? Oh yeah, you bet they are. And we're sorry about that. And you know, that bothers me as much as it bothers you. There's a lot of fakers out there, but that's what our religion says. It says, be careful of the false prophets. There's a lot of false prophets out there. But don't think that because there are some people who are fake, that the religion itself is fake. No, God is real. And if you're not sure about that, just ask him. He's there. Knock on the door. He'll answer. So, my friends, that's my prayer for all of you. Thanks for joining me, as you always do. And I want to give you a blessing, and we'll talk again in the morning. We'll be having Mass at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, like we do each day. And then back again tomorrow night for more broadcasting, our evening opportunity to chat with one another. So, may the Lord bless all of you. May He protect you and your loved ones. May He answer all your prayers and make you strong defenders of life. And may He bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Thank you, Grace. I love that comment. Your transparency is so refreshing. Let's all do that in politics. Let's all do it in the church. Let's do it in our families, in our organizations. Transparency. You know, let me just take one more second here. Remember Charles Krauthammer? I know many of you used to watch him on He would appear on Fox News as a commentator, and he was a psychiatrist. Charles Krauthammer, really excellent commentator on world events, and he knew he was dying, and he gave some last advice that I really appreciated. He said, if you don't speak what's on your mind, if you don't have the freedom to be able to express what's on your mind honestly, you betray your whole life. You betray your whole life. Thank you, Charles Krauthammer, for that. And you know, Jesus really taught the same thing. He really did. He told us to be honest. He told us to be transparent. He told us, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. You know what the word sincere means? It means sine chera, without wax. It's like there's these masks of wax that, you know, you could put over your face and you appear to be somebody different than you really are. That's insincerity. But sine chera, without the wax, you take off the mask and just, you know, say what you really think. And that's that. You know, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, and life is so much easier when you're just able to be honest. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have prudence. I mean, there are certain circumstances where you can't say certain things because out of respect for the rights of other people. And I mean, that's not the same thing as insincerity. That's not lying. You use prudence, obviously. Some people don't know how to control their mouths. That's not what we mean by speaking your mind and being honest. You do so appropriately. But my goodness, you do so. You don't go around, you know, pretending to be who you're not, pretending to believe what you don't believe and not to believe what you do believe. You know, we know that being honest and transparent and straightforward is going to cost us. It's going to cost us a lot. But what we're going to gain is a lot more. And one of the things you gain is just peace of mind and heart. You're at peace. You're at peace. I love the saying of St. John Bosco, and I'll conclude with this. Do good and let the birds sing. I can tell you story after story. I don't like to focus on, you know, my own troubles, but I can tell you story after story about criticisms I've gotten. Some of you know about it. Criticisms I've gotten from other church leaders that are jealous or envious or they don't like what I do and whatnot. They'll make up stories about me. They'll make up stories about you. Jesus told us this would happen. And, you know, it's like, all right, they want to criticize you. They want to make up things. They lie about you. But we're at peace because we know what we're doing, why we're doing it. We're honest about it. We're an open book. Like Jesus was an open book. Remember when they were bringing him to trial, bringing him to crucifixion, and they were bringing false witnesses against him and everything, and they were, you know, asking him about his teaching. And he said, I have spoken openly to all the world. Why are you asking me about my... Ask the people who heard me. The message is out there. I have spoken openly to all the world. I've said nothing in secret. And this is also what, and John, your comment is reminding me, children, is what he meant too by saying, be like little children. Whoever does not turn and become like a little child will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Children are just, no mask, no wax. Sine chera, without the wax. Sincere, that's a child. Jesus said, be like that. You'll do a lot of good in the world. And you'll have an awful lot of peace. God bless you all, friends. We'll talk to you tomorrow. This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.